I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
3 employees and 2 work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on the eve of a huge game for Scotland. Steve Clark's side are off to Greece looking to bring home a result which paves the way to stay in Nations League A. On the club front, Vaclav Černý says he wants to stay at Rangers as the club issues a very strong statement about various fan behaviours. And club fans are always watching to see who's fit and well after the international break. Austin Trusty pulls out of the USA squad. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Simon Donnelly and Marvin Bartley.
Yeah, a huge week ahead for Scotland. Like you said, with the first leg tomorrow against Greece, followed up with the second leg on Sunday. Be absolutely huge for the players if he can get through that and stay in the top kind of flight in terms of the Nations League. We're obviously going to hear John McGinn speak during the show. He's been very active in the group chat as well. He's looking forward to it. So, yeah, listen, hopefully they can go over there and get a good result and then, you know, bring it home on Sunday.
I'm just glad we're looking forward rather than back.
Oh, no, no.
Is it Wednesday?
I tried, sorry.
Don't you get carried away. Are you new to Glasgow? This is only
listen,
day 3.
I'm not naive. We'll obviously be reflecting on the weekend's games, but yeah, I'm with Big Marvin. I'm looking forward to Scotland tomorrow.
Sensational start from Marvin Bartley, just dropping in that he's still in a group chat with John McGinn. Honestly, yeah, just trying to get it out there.
Big
just
names.
Show that he moves in these types of circles. Let's see what exclusives he can give us between now and 8 o'clock. But it really is over to you. That's the whole fun of it. 0141 951 1025. So come on down, let us know what you're thinking tonight. We've actually not done a great deal of Scotland stuff this week because obviously the fallout from the weekend's games. So if now is the time for you, let's do it. Pick your team even. Give us a shout with that 11. What's the strongest team now? Does Steve Clark go back to a back three or stick with a back four? Because Kieran Tierney's back and there's no Ben Doak. Everybody said the back four was working though, and it's the way to go. But can you do that with this personnel that he has at his disposal? So back three or back four for you? And if so, how are you going to fit them all in? What are you thinking about the game against Greece tomorrow? 0141 951 1025. Simon Donnelly can hide all he wants. It's only day 3. This is nothing. The fallout from these games can last 3 months. Never mind 3 days.
I know that.
So if there's anything new that you think we've not covered from the weekend, again, same number, 0141 951 1025. A few offshoots from that. Vaclav Černý's given an interview saying he wants to stay at Rangers. I can just imagine you Rangers fans that the ears will prick up. That would probably be good news. Firstly, do you want it to happen? I think the answer would be yes, but can you make it happen? Do you think it will happen? Should that be a priority? And so on. An extremely strongly worded statement from Rangers about various fan misbehaviours recently in the eyes of the club. So if you've any thoughts on that, you're more than welcome to share them as well. And anything else, anything at all that's out there, give us a call, because don't forget, all this week as well, we do have tickets to Ladies' Day at the Scottish Grand National Air Racecourse, Friday the 11th of April. A brilliant day out, great entertainment, all you could want from a semi-local day out for you. And all you need to do is come on and make a point to the panel. That is it. Just pick up the phone, come through, chat football with the guys, and you go into the hat for the tickets. It's 2 club badges tonight as well we're giving away. So do get involved. 0141 951 1025. What's John McGinn been saying on this group chat?
just to avoid you, basically.
No, phone him right now.
He's just been very active as always. He's excited. Obviously excited to have, you know, some younger players come into the squad as well. John remembers being one of them. I think he spoke about it in an interview as well. So he said, yes, it's, you know, it's brilliant. It's fresh. It reminds you, you know, how you felt when you first came in. And he said having just new players around gives, you know, even the older boys new lease of life.
I think it does. I think you look at, you only have to look to the likes of Ben Doak recently coming in and bringing that youthful energy and pace mm-hmm. and threat up front. I think senior players feed off that as well. I think it brings a lift. Mm-hmm. We touched on it last week with the likes of Lennon Miller coming into the squad now. I think it's exciting times. He's been a big player for Motherwell. He's come out with some comments, which I really like. He's backing himself. He wants to be the best. And he's got the opportunity now. And I think
that topic's got my head in a spin this week, I have to admit. you'll upset me if we go into that. But we will need to at some point, I'm sure.
What's upsetting you about it?
What a lot of nonsense.
What?
The whole thing.
Yeah, the way people have gone.
Why is it still an issue?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm saying I'm back.
No,
the boy.
I'm not disagreeing with you. You've just triggered me straight away.
I think John McGinn speaks well there, because I think looking after these young lads coming into the international setup is important, and you know, we've all been there once before ourselves, so it's exciting.
No, not
times.
All of us, just you, mate.
Well, I wasn't that young then, but 18, another lad, James Wilson, as well. So it's exciting times for Scotland.
0141 951 1025, that is the number that you need. So please come on down and give us a call. Like we said, every caller who makes it onto the show tonight goes into the hat for the tickets to Air Races. So what is not to like? Get involved. You can tweet us, of course, all evening at Clyde SSB as well. Let's dive in with Craig, who's first through on the line. How are you, Craig?
Very well, Gordon, thanks. Hope you guys are doing well as well.
Yeah.
I've avoided the phone in for the last couple of nights because I knew it would be absolutely chaos and impossible to go on, but I know you want to talk about Scotland.
We talk about whatever you want. Don't you worry about that.
Fair enough. Just on Vaclav Czerny, I've not managed to, you know, see a lot of social media stuff, but to hear him, you know, saying he wants to stay at Rangers, for me, that's a massive thing, because I think, sorry to kind of like go back on a tangent here, but I think if the previous manager was here, there was absolutely no chance of that. You know, so it shows that Barry Ferguson's, you know, but and I think the performance on Sunday for me was, it was up there with kind of Walter Smith-esque, particularly the second half, you know, kind of backs against the wall, but still kind of dicking out a result, if that makes sense. And I was going to come on Sunday, I tried to get on Sunday, but for me, I would love to see Barry involved, whether he's the number one man, the manager, or he's involved in the coaching staff next summer, this summer. That, to me, is a non-negotiable as far as the new owners are concerned, because my point on Sunday was, if you get rid of Barry Ferguson, you're diluting everything that he's done. He's got the passion back in, and if we go down the route of another foreign manager, who's to say in 6 months' time we're not going to be saying, oh, we need someone like a Barry Ferguson back in the building? So I'm not convinced he'll be the number one guy going forward, and I've seen people talking about, oh, Barry Ferguson's Steven Gerrard dream team as such. I don't think that would quite work, but I think Barry should definitely be involved. But my main point is about Czerny, and just the fallout from Sunday, I think he could be a kind of natural Novo figure going forward, you know, because the Celtic fans, he seems to be getting right under their skin, you know, the way that we Nacho did, and obviously he's far more talented than Novo, no disrespect to Nacho, but I think if he could be a lot more consistent, he's a game changer. You know, he's proven that in the European games, and I thought he played well on Sunday. He wasn't quite at his best. It was maybe fatigue. But for me, Czerny would be a priority to get tied down. In fact, he wants to stay, I think, is testament to Barry Ferguson.
Getting under the skin is an interesting way of putting it. I think it would get under your skin. Somebody squished water on you. And I don't know what that... Marvin, I said this the other night. It's not like trying to dodge it. I genuinely don't know what that situation looks like. I don't know, because how often have we seen it?
Yeah.
So clearly one of those things that you should not do. I think that goes without saying. You can't have players doing that all the time. But also don't know what that means in terms of, is that enough to trigger anything from the Scottish FA's perspective or elsewhere? Genuinely very difficult to know. I'm not trying to like play it down or say that it's a super serious crime either, because I find it hard to really compare it to anything. Albeit, like I said, I think it's pretty obvious you shouldn't do it, because otherwise then every player would do it, and yeah, I don't think it's very sustainable.
No, I agree with you. I think it's one of those that, you know, maybe like a slap on the wrist, you know, would be sufficient. Like you said, it shouldn't happen. One thing that does happen in football, though, is that football fans go into stadiums and will constantly shout abuse at players, and you're made to just accept it because they've paid their money for a ticket. You know, what he did wasn't the biggest crime in the world. He squirted water, and he shouldn't have done it. You know, and it should never happen, and players shouldn't do it. But some of the things I've read and seen, and, you know, people are now talking about police investigations, I think their time would be a lot better spent if they are trying to get rid of certain things that do happen within football stadiums, away from, you know, a football player squirting water. It doesn't matter what team they play for, Gordon, by the way. You know, it could have been against Hibs, it could have been a Hibs player. I really don't care. But as I said, you know, sometimes... all the time, a lot is given out to players, you know, and unfortunately in this situation, he's reacted to it and he squirted water, but I think it should
be have to not react, don't you?
Well, why do you constantly have to not react? Why do you constantly have to be the bigger person if you're the professional footballer? Why does that always have to be that way, but people couldn't shout? And I'm not saying that happened in this situation,
exactly. So that's important.
You know, why do you have to be the one that constantly has to be the bigger person in these situations?
I'm a touch reluctant to spend the third day on
Watergate.
arguing all night about that, but by all means, if people are that way inclined.
I think Craig's right, though. It's an advantage, or it's a positive, if Cherny's come out and said he wants to... He's their best player.
Yeah, I think it was international duty. Basically said they want to stay. He said, I definitely do. That would encourage Rangers fans, I'm sure.
I mean, it's interesting he's suggesting there that it's maybe on the back of Barry coming in, because I think he's been... I used the word consistent. I think he's been their most consistent player this year. If you look at his... I know he got a little bit of stick at the beginning, but I still seen enough in him to realise he was a player there. You look at his goals and his assists. I think he's one of the top players. So that would be a boost for Rangers if they could keep him.
Yeah, I mean, Craig, did it take him a bit of time to get going? As Simon says, his numbers across the season are actually pretty good, but... I do remember calls of people doubting him. I think
got a little bit of stick.
He got so much stick in that first Old Firm game. To be fair, so did many of his teammates. Was he not sort of arguing with fans at one point, or throwing his arms up or something? Does it feel like he's come a long way since then?
Yeah, definitely. Maybe just clarify what I meant about consistency. I think in terms of consistency, his attitude, because his numbers have been fantastic. But, you know, what I mean is, if he could have that kind of 7 out of 10... you know, performance, even 8 out of 10, you know, more consistently, because he performs in Europe, he performs in the big games, shall we say. But yeah, he did take a bit of time to get going, and I think, you know, people say, oh, he's one-footed, he's always trying to come in his left-hand side, and, you know, that's possibly down to the way the previous manager set up the team. But just to kind of clarify my other point, I agree with Marvin wholeheartedly. I think the fact that there's stuff going on, I know, Gordon, you don't want to go on about it too much, but, you know, Lee Griffiths was tying scarves around, you know, the goalposts at Ibrox about 10 years ago and stuff like that, and a wee bit of a squirt of water. But what I mean is, in terms of Barry, Billy Dodds, Neil McCann, they've got that passion back into the Rangers team, and I'm not saying go about squirting fans with water, but even just flying into tackles 50-50s, and I heard people saying, you know, the last couple of nights, they were kicking Maeda all over the park. The big difference is, in previous games, we let Maeda, you know, Kyogo when he was there, Callum McGregor have the run of the pitch. You know, Callum McGregor had the freedom of Ibrox the last couple of years. So the fact that we're closing these people down, the fact that we're actually putting in tackles, and people are like, oh, wait a minute. And like I said, I think from that point of view, that's why I compared it to Walter Smith. It's... Then that's why I'd like to see Barry kept on in some form.
What sort of fee would you be comfortable paying for Cherny?
I don't... So, obviously, you know, we paid that for Ryan Kent when he, you know, had the good loan spell under Gerrard, and by all accounts, it was a similar fee for Seymour last year, but he was asking for, you know, crazy wages and stuff like that, but I think it depends what kind of investment's going to come this summer, because I'm not getting carried away. You know, the financial fair play and stuff like that means we can't go out and sign everybody that I would like us to sign. But I think Cherny, you know, a kind of defensive midfielder, a couple of defenders, of the quality of, you know, the Cherny, the Yamandi. But I think if the takeover goes through, and obviously if Rangers were to maybe progress to the next round of the Europa League, I don't think, you know, 6 million is going to kind of cause too much issue, if that makes sense. And I think that's a fair fee for somebody like Cherny.
It's difficult, Marvin. It's almost a bit like the conversation around the manager, where you don't want to be boring, but you almost have to say, well, you also just need to wait and see, firstly, is there a takeover? Mm-hmm. What that looks like, what the new ownership model is. Because in the broadest sense, if you say to Rangers fans, do you want to keep Václav Cherny, I think they'd all say yes. I think we'd be struggling to find one. But the new owner genuinely might say, no, we now do not pay £6-7 million for 28-year-olds. We just don't. Blanket, end of story. No idea, because you don't really know what the strategy would be. I know he's 27, by the way, but by the start of next season, he'll be getting there.
Yeah, and that's a fair point, Gordon. You know, we always talk about the player trading model, and Celtic have done it ever so well, signing younger players, giving them the platform to perform and then selling them on. And Rangers fans have always looked across with envy in recent times at that. So it does get to a situation where you are saying, you know, 27, 28-year-old, is our money better spent elsewhere? But I think the difficulty that the new owners might have with that is that they need to close the gap on Celtic. So they need instant players now, where Celtic can go and sign projects, because they're ahead of Rangers. They're way ahead of Rangers at this moment in time in terms of, you know, the league and everything else. So I think if you are the new owners coming in, I think, you know, even if it is a rule of thumb that you do want to sign players 25 and younger, I think to make a statement, you do bring them in if you can afford to do so.
Do you think there's always room for that one that's seen as, there are no guarantees, but is seen as like a sort of guarantee?
Yeah.
Yeah, of success or performances.
Listen, people out there will argue they're still 13 points behind Celtic, but he's been a success at Rangers this year in terms of his goals and his assists. Every time there's something positive, he's usually involved. So from a Rangers point of view, I think they'd be daft not to keep him if they have the finance there. They know what they're getting with him. And 27, 28 is nothing really.
Also, be interested to know how, you know, in the background, what is known about the takeover in terms of, right, okay, this is definitely happening, or this is definitely going to be available to spend. You'd imagine there needs to be a level of that, because it's not like new ownership can walk in on 1st of June or whatever the date would be, and then you suddenly go and try and put all the wheels in motion for these things.
Yeah, no, they'd have to have those conversations now. And like you say, until they officially take over, they can't obviously release the funds, but they will be putting wheels in motion. If it is to happen, by the way, it could still fall apart, we never know. But if it is to happen, they will be saying, well, this is how much we want to spend. These are the sort of players we want to attract to the football club. And, you know, by all means, they've been watching Rangers of recent, haven't they? Someone's always been across to watch them, and Cherny's always performed. So I think, you know, you go back to the powers that be and say, no, we need to bring this man to the football club by any means.
Encouraging to hear, though, Craig. I don't know if we've really heard that before. Maybe we're just leaping on the quote and, you know, and maybe making quite a lot out of it. But it be the first time that he's said it in those terms.
Yeah, definitely. And again, maybe he's always wanted to stay. But like I said, I think, you know, the improvement, you know, that's bound to have happened at the training centre over the last month since Barry and the guys have come in, I think that's definitely a factor. You know, because you know what it's like if you're not enjoying your job, you're not happy. And as I said, you know, I think at times he didn't look too happy on the pitch, even though he was contributing. I think a lot of the time under kind of the previous management, it was kind of give the ball to Cherny and see what can happen. And I think he kind of got a bit, you know, weighed down in that expectation, if that makes sense, of being the kind of main guy that was expected to make things happen. But as I say, I wouldn't say kind of like the top target, because I think the defence is the priority in terms of like bringing in a real strong centre-half. But Cherny would be, if you were asking me three positions, keeping Cherny and bringing in a quality defensive midfielder and a quality centre-half would be priority for me.
We'll see what happens. Watch this space, I guess. Thank you to Craig from Moody'sburn. 01419511025 is the number that you need. He is in the hat for the tickets to Ayr Races, and you could be as well if you pick up that phone, whether you are wanting to join in on the discussion Craig started, look back on something else from the weekend, look forward. I'm still looking for your Scotland thoughts as well, of course, at some point this evening. So do get in touch, because the more you call, the less we need to speak to Marvin Bartley. That's the way to look at it. Give us a shout right now and we'll get you on next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley and Simon Donnelly are here. 0141 951 1025. Get in touch. Every caller who does goes in the hat for two tickets to Air Races, and we'll do that every night this week, so join in, why don't you? Gav is just up the road in Drumchapel. How's it going, Gav?
Hi, great, thanks very much for taking my call.
Our pleasure. What made you call?
It was about the previous caller talking about Cherney. Obviously, I get the fact, obviously, it's interesting to come to Rangers, apparently. But if it's going to be a £6 or £7 million transfer fee, do you not think? I think they might look at the back of the time where Ryan Jack was in a similar situation. Ryan Kent, when he was in a similar situation when he was coming back from Liverpool. And it was a hype. They played well. All the fans wanted him there. But then, kind of, things fell away after he was bought to permanently. So I don't know if that's... I don't know why we're looking at the gloom, but I would hate to see Cherney playing as well as he is just now. And then, kind of, falling off the rails because he is a permanent player.
I suppose it's always the risk. How would you know,
it's hard to gauge that. If that was the case, you'd have a serious issue with the boy's mentality if that was the case. But for me, he's a better player than Ryan Kent. He's been really productive for Rangers this year. I keep saying it. Anything that I've watched positive in that final third, he's usually involved, whether it's a shot at goal, a goal, an assist. He's always a threat. And I think from Rangers' point of view, he'd be a good addition.
For everyone, I can't think of a Rangers example, but to bring Simon's team into it, you know, Jota came on loan, then paid quite a big fee. Cameron Carter-Vickers did it. So it is supposed to help you because you can see what that player's capable of. Yeah. I mean, Gav's right, though. It didn't really work with Ryan Kent. But does that put you off doing that forever?
No, it can't. Because, you know, regardless of what you do in terms of transfers, you can try and tick every single box. They can come in and just not work. You know, one thing which only he understands the pressure, which I think is massive. I always speak about it when you play for Celtic or Rangers. You know, the size of the football clubs, you never realise until you come to Scotland. So he's aware of that. He's performed under those pressures. Listen, they've gone through a real difficult time at times this season as well. When he's came out the other side, and as Simon said earlier, he's been their most consistent player. I think it's a lot easier signing a player that you've had in on loan, again, like Simon said, knowing their mentality, than trying to sign someone out of the cold, because you get rid of Cherney and think, right, let's just bring in somebody else. Then, you know, you don't know what they're going to be like under the pressure. You don't know what they're going to be like in the dressing room. And then can they perform, which is the main thing. So for me, it would be a no-brainer. There's always going to be risk, Gav, attached to transfers, regardless of, you know, if they've been on loan for even 2 years. But, you know, I think Cherney ticks a lot of the boxes, and you think to yourself, well, I can't really see how this one goes wrong, because he's been here, he's done it, and now he wants to stay.
He's probably a bit more productive numbers-wise than Ryan Kent ever was, Gav, is he? I think he's already on 17 for the season. I'm not sure Ryan Kent ever got more than maybe 13 around that or something in a full season for Rangers. Is he more productive in front of goal?
Oh, don't get me wrong. He's a far better player than Ryan Kent was at Rangers. His numbers are not proven that he is a far better player. But it was more so the fact that I don't know if they're going to look at it as a gamble, and it always is a gamble when these players are coming to the club. But he is a far better player, so I think the quality's there for Cherney. It would be a good addition to the squad. Obviously, he's doing it just now, but it was just more the fact that is he going to prove it while he's made permanent.
He has a maturity about him as well, though, Gav. Ryan Kent was a lot younger when he came in.
Then is that also why you're more willing to pay the big fee?
No, but I mean, in terms of, you know, is a player going to come in and be successful? I think the older that they are, the more mature they have. Listen, Ryan Kent probably saw the bright lights of coming on loan and then signing permanently, then realising, hang on, I'm a Rangers player here, where Cherney at 27, 28, it's one of those things you take in your stride and you're more, you know, focused on performing on the pitch than anything else.
Yeah, comparison to Ryan Kent, I remember accusing Ryan Kent of not having, as you say, the numbers. I thought he should have added more goals to his game. Cherney's been here, okay, he's here first season. 17 goals is a great return. There's been assists there as well. And as I say, as Marvin touches on there as well, mentality at Rangers and Celtic, it does show as if he can live up to that. He can handle it. And I keep going back to it. I think it'd be a no-brainer, you know, if they can get him on a permanent move.
I mean, what Nils Koppen is at the club at the moment, he must have played a part in getting Václav Černý's loan. He got a kind of promotion, so to speak, didn't he? But then we don't quite know what his role, I'm assuming it stays. I don't know what his role would be if there's a takeover in the summer as well. It just feels like there's so many moving parts.
Yeah, I think, you know, when you do a takeover, I think you bring your own people to the football club, you know, whether that's directly or indirectly, whether they work outside of the club, like, you know, if they can have a multi-club kind of like process, then they might have people working down at Leeds, like you see with Hibs now. They've got people that are at Bournemouth that do a lot of their work for them. So, you know, I don't think he'll lose his job. He'll be involved in the process, definitely. And like you said, he brought him to the football club. But I think if you're going to put money into a football club, you're going to have your own people in and around it as well.
Surely if you'd like dual interest in Hibs and Bournemouth, they would give you a job. I mean, you must be the only guy that links those two clubs in the way that you do.
With pure love. What about Newcastle? Newcastle just won something. I'd rather go there now.
Well, mate, how would you get a job there, though?
Because my dad's the manager.
Oh, no, forget Eddie Howe, though. I'm talking about you.
No, that's more important.
Representing Hibs and Bournemouth, you could be like, you could be the middleman.
What role is he getting?
That's a great question. We should throw that open to the listeners. We might regret it, though. Right, thanks to Craig. Thanks to Gavin Drumchapel. He's in the hat for the races as well. So keep the calls coming. 01419511025. Craig is on the other line. How are you, Craig?
Yeah, I'm good. Yourself?
Good, thank you. What are you thinking?
Well, I think Rangers have missed a trick too many times with loan players who have been really good and we've not been able to sign them, like Sima, Tillman and stuff. I know Kearney's a different kettle of fish because he's a bit older. But he's got the numbers. He's always producing.
That is a fair point, because, like, Simon, loans fall into a couple of categories where, you know, often it's a player that you can't afford to sign right now.
Yeah.
And you get that. That's why you do it. It's just a better level of quality than you can afford to sign. But if that player can't come in, and this is not his fault, but if that impact isn't enough to, like, win you something, it's I'm not saying it's pointless, but you know what I mean? It's quite annoying. You then just see him off in the distance again. What have you got out of it? Now he might go on and score goals that fire Rangers into the successful stages of the Europa League. But Craig's thinking about, if you've got someone on loan and you like it, can you keep them around, basically? Can you try and turn that into a longer term thing?
I think that they've got to with him. They've got to. I mean, you have to acknowledge Celtic look as if they're going to go and win the treble, right? So people will argue how successful has their season been, but he is one of our better players. If they want to progress, I think they have to keep the likes of Černý. He's touched on other ones there. Who was it he mentioned? Tillman and who's the other one?
Sima.
Sima's return last year, goals-wise, was decent as well. And it maybe is frustrating for Rangers fans to watch these guys come in, perform to a reasonable level and then move on. But in terms of Černý, I started the show, I think he's their best player. I think he's Rangers' best player. And he's performed over the period. 17 goals is a fantastic return. You've got to try and keep him.
Do you think he's Rangers' best player, Craig?
I think he's the most productive player. He's definitely the one that's produced. I love Raskin. I think he's the one that can boss that midfield. But I think Černý is the one that you need at the top end that's going to give you numbers consistently. And that's what Rangers lack. I mean, I know Dessers scores a lot of goals, but Černý seems to turn up in the big moments when we really, really, really need him.
Yeah, I think that as well. I think watching Rangers this year in games where they have been accused of maybe one of their weaknesses, when there's teams playing in deep and trying to unlock or create something, he's usually the guy that does that.
It's just I know it's an easy phrase, yeah. Marvin, but every team, especially the ones at the top and are trying to win stuff, just a bit of quality, isn't it? Somebody that can make something happen. Do you feel like you've seen him get? Has he progressed as well? Has he got better as the season's gone on? Or
yeah, I think he has. You know, I really do think he has. And like you say, his numbers speak for themselves. But his all round performances, and Simon says there, when they're always looking to a go to man to create something, whether it be score or assist or just, you know, be a live wire in the final third, it is always him. I think, you know, he is their most important player. I know people talk about Raskin and how well he's done of recent, but I think the biggest drop off is if you take Černý out of the team, who replaces him? I don't think there is a replacement, anyone even near him, in terms of the ability that he does have. And don't get me wrong, listen, Rangers have still gone to places and lost games and, you know, lost to Motherwell recently, so we're not getting too far ahead of ourselves. But if you want to build a team that could potentially challenge Celtic for next season, he has to be a part of that.
Slightly different role as well, maybe, in the last couple of games, if if and when the interim management team have tweaked the formation.
Yeah, he's kind of played, well, he almost played through the middle at the weekend, but he's a clever footballer. He's a clever footballer. He likes to play on that right and come in on his left foot, but he's showed in recent times the goal over in Turkey as well. Took it really well. Fantastic pass from Raskin. He's showed that he's a clever enough footballer to play in several roles in that forward line.
They've given that freedom as well, I think. Yeah. You know, when you do play wing-backs and you've got three centre midfielders, he doesn't really have to be out on the right-hand side all the time. So, like Simon's saying, there, he's floating up in various different places.
Little spaces.
Find space, doesn't he? Yeah, and then when he does find a space, he's trying to go forward with the ball, he's trying to create things. So, yeah, I think, you know, this new kind of formation has really, really helped him as well.
Thanks to Craig. Keep saying it. Everyone who calls is in the hat for the tickets to the races. So let's add Craig's name to that list as well. 01419511025. You can send us a tweet at Clyde SSB. And look, I'm not deliberately keeping it very local to this radio station, but Craig was in Knightswood. Kenny's in Yoker. How's it going, Kenny?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, Kenny. What are you thinking tonight?
I'm just thinking about... Okay, I'm a Celtic fan. I've told you guys before. I've been on before. And I'll take the weekend as much as it was hard, and probably everyone in my flat close building probably heard my shout from where they were. But at the end of the day, Rangers were the better team, in my opinion. They deserve to win, right? I'll get that out of the road. Mm-hmm. However, I do not understand this resurgence of the support that I'm hearing on the programme tonight about how good they are talking about 6 million, 7 million. In my opinion, it's not going to happen. They've not got the finances. I don't see... I own a company myself, and I don't see, the 49ers come in and saying, OK, we're going to splash 6 or 7 million. We're going to then go and get this player for 4 million. It's not going to happen, because we all need to remember that we're still in the Scottish League for a start. So what they'll come in my opinion, to steady the ship. And that will be it for the first couple of seasons. I don't think there's going to be this money spending. My other point as well, Barry Ferguson came in, yes, you know, the feel-good factors about Ibrox at the moment. Perfect. We've seen it before, and we'll probably see it again. But that's all it is, in my opinion. It's the feel-good factor at the moment. And I just don't understand why Celtic are not getting... Okay, they are getting some plaudits, but at the moment, there seems to be a big, massive cloud over Glasgow just now that is giving good wishes to Rangers and, you know, the Europa League run. At the end of the day, they're going to finish the season with no trophies. Let's be honest here. They're not going to win the Europa League.
You don't think so?
I don't want to say I know so, because then I sound like an absolute...
I'm winding you up. I suspected that you wouldn't think they would win it.
But you know what? At the end of the day, and I'll probably get shouted out at my Celtic pals as well, I was surprised when we got to the final that we did, and we were playing Porto. But did I think we were going to win it at the bottom of my heart? No, I didn't. So, you know, I'd be the same. Yes, we support the team, and we'll support them to the final, and we're going to win it, and blah, blah, blah. But when the alcohol stops, and then you start to think clearly, then, you know... It's probably not going to happen in the Scottish game in our lifetimes.
See the point about, you know, Rangers are still in Scotland, and it's not like new ownership just means you can splash all the cash and therefore they won't sign Cherney. That's Kenny's take on it. I wonder if the truth, though, is in the middle, because I think the logic of what Kenny's saying probably is right. For a start, there's, you know, financial fair play, that sort of thing. Ross McCormick's been on the show saying that at Leeds it was a very kind of gradual sort of approach that the 49ers enterprises took to things. But even within that, surely if you're coming in, buying the club, taking over the club, there would be some level of investment there. And I don't feel like 6 million is a figure that is like outrageous.
Yeah.
Don't still feel possible, even within the limitations that Kenny speaks of?
100%. And like you're saying there, you know, Ross spoke about it at Leeds and as a gradual process. There's a lot more teams in England to compete with.
Yeah.
You look at buying Rangers or Celtic, whoever it might be, you think to yourself, we can get into the Champions League potentially in one season, which is absolutely, absolutely massive. So, you know, if they were to come here and, you know, people look at it before, if you come here and they can say, I don't know, we could spend £35 million, whatever it might be, which down in England, by the way, is probably going to get you one player for a Premier League team if Leeds were to get promoted, potentially could put Rangers, you know, on the edge of being in the Champions League if they can win the title. So yeah, listen, they are going to spend money. If they come into the club, I don't think it will be a gradual thing. I think they'll look at it and think we can bring in maybe three or four quality players and then can we close the gap on Celtic? But then Celtic will be doing exactly the same. They've got money in the bank as well, so they'll be buying players. So I think it's one of those things. I've been very, very surprised that, you know, someone hasn't looked at Rangers beforehand, because the size of these two clubs, no matter where you go around the world, you always find supporters of Celtic or Rangers. You know, they're a huge, huge football club. So just investing a little bit of money, potentially getting the Champions League. And then also, Gordon, it allows you to bring in players from different countries that you potentially can't get down into England. So they come up to Scotland for a few years and then you can ship them down.
Kenny's second point's one of those impossible ones, Simon. I must admit, I don't know how we measure it, this notion that Celtic haven't had enough credit. I feel like they probably have. Are they getting any this week? No, for obvious reasons. If we went back to the night after Munich, we would probably have had Rangers fans tweeting in going, "You're giving Celtic too much credit." I know we're a fickle place, but
we are. It's just the nature of it. It's the disappointment of being beaten. Yeah. In the cold light of day, you look at, you know, the League Cup is in the bag. The league is almost in the bag, and in the semi-finals of the Scottish Cup. So that it's another really positive season for Celtic, but you still want to go and beat your rivals.
How did you take it, the defeat? Because we spoke about this last week, obviously, in terms of what it means, and of course it wouldn't alter the big picture, but obviously it's never meaningless, so...
It's never meaningless. Listen, I played in a Celtic team that were chasing Rangers for a long period of time, and we beat them in the Hampden season, and you only have to look at the photos of the we won 3-0. It's everything on the day, and I can see where Rangers celebrate, because it's 5 years since they won at Celtic Park. I can understand that. The consolation, when you strip it back the next morning, as Kenny says, if the alcohol is worn off, they're still sitting really strong for a treble, and that's what the achievement you set out to get at the start of the season. But you still want to, you ask any of those Celtic fans that were in the stadium at the weekend, they're desperate to win it.
Well, they celebrated the equalising goal like it mattered.
Of course.
As you would do.
I think it adds a wee bit to the game as well, with the Rangers fans being there as well, because you react to them celebrating the first two goals.
Did you notice a bit of a difference on that front?
Aye. I do, because I think it brings something out in the Celtic fans as well. They react to the first goal after half time. It gets to two each. I'm watching the game and I think there's only going to be one winner. I was proven wrong, because, you know, Egerman scores a fantastic goal at the end. Terrible goal from Celtic's point of view, but I definitely think that brings something to the fixture.
Thank you, Kenny. It's time for me to tell you about this.
Oh my God.
Cash Dash.
Brilliant stuff, man.
Don't miss your chance to be our next winner on Cash Dash, because that call happens on Friday and it's worth £475,000. Text YES to 61025. The texts are £2.50 plus your standard network rate. You can enter on our website for £2.50 or call 0330 880 4523, and the calls are charged at a standard rate. It is over 18s only, and all the rules for this Rail Network competition are on our website. The clock is ticking. Lines close 5pm Friday. All you need to do is answer the call if it comes. One text, one answering of your phone, and potentially £475,000 better off. Incredible. Text YES to 61025.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley is here, so is Simon Donnelly, and they're answering your calls. Fairly predictable, even though we're a couple of days on. It's been lots of it looking back on the weekend, but I suppose forward look about the future for Rangers. Should Vaclav Cherny hang around? He's given an interview saying that he would like to stay. We had a Celtic fan on before at the break there as well, so do give us a call on whatever it is you've got for us. Scotland fans, it's tomorrow evening away in Greece, a huge challenge. They've got a brilliant home record over the last couple of seasons, and Scotland trying to stay in Nations League A. Should it be a back three or should it be a back four? Because it was always a back three. It went to a back four. People thought it was better, but that didn't have Kieran Tierney, and it did have Ben Doak, and those situations have changed. So we can do that hopefully before the end of the show. 01419511025. I always said it before, Simon, fans are always looking at the international break. For those who are really into international football, fine, and then their own country, you're always just keeping a little eye out to see who gets injured or who's fit or who's not. I noticed Austin Trusty pulled out of the USA squad. He, of course, did miss the Celtic game. So
Maeda had a wee knock as well, but he'd get back into training.
Well, that would be a worry.
Yeah.
And then, because on the back of that, we had a few calls last night saying Sunday was rubbish, but the one thing is that Mike Navrotsky looked good and we'd like to see more of him. Is that he accurate? Did. Is it knee-jerk? What?
I don't know if it's knee-jerk. It certainly jumped out at me during the game. I thought that he had a decent game. For somebody who's been out in the cold for so long, I thought he kind of stood up and was counted to an extent. I thought coming in, yeah, he was decent.
He was the best defender, weren't he?
Yeah,
for me,
I would say
for
so.
Celtic.
Yeah.
And like you say, to be thrown into that game, I think his last start was the last game of last season.
It's incredible.
So obviously he's kept himself fit and mentally right. We all know what it's like as a footballer when you're not playing, you know, week in, week out. It doesn't look like you're close to playing. And he probably didn't have a chance until, you know, what's happened. He gets thrown into such a huge game, it would have been easy for him to go under, but I think he showed massive, massive
maturity. A couple
of times
he got squared up with Cherney, one and did reasonably well. I think the last goal, there's multiple mistakes in it, and he's maybe, it's at the death, you know, he hasn't played 90 minutes. But I thought over the piece, he was, as you say, their best, Celtic's best defender.
But the news today, Marvin, was more of a wider point from Rangers, and I think it sent quite a shockwave around because of the strength of a statement the Rangers put out. So they were condemning supporters for a number of things, actually, but the main topic was what's been called by UEFA a racist and or discriminatory banner. It was UEFA have kicked off disciplinary proceedings. It was for the banner that was displayed against Fenerbahce, and Rangers then, you know, like we said, it was more the strength of the statement that came out. And the line that's grabbed everyone's attention, where it says, for the avoidance of doubt, if you don't believe in 2025, absolutely everyone's welcome to follow Rangers, whether at Ibrox or away. Rangers is not the club for you, and you should disassociate yourself with the club immediately. They also did speak about like pyrotechnics, throwing of objects. It was quite a wide ranging. What did you make of it?
I thought the statement was fantastic. You know, I'm a massive advocate of Scottish football, and I always will be. But to see that banner come up, like they're saying there, in 2025 was a huge disappointment. For some individuals to think it's okay, one, to not only have those views, but two, to go into a football stadium and put that up, doesn't sit right with me at all. You know, and I think the club have came out and they've been extremely strong with it, and rightfully so. And the biggest disappointment for me is that the minority of these people who put that banner up are going to now affect the majority. Because, you know, people start, everyone gets tired with the same brush, and all of a sudden it's not just these, you know, 10 or 12 individuals who ever are involved, it's Rangers supporters. And that's totally unfair, because there's idiots who support every football club. And that doesn't mean it's the same for absolutely every person who goes into that football stadium, because the majority of them behave properly and then they just go home from the game. But yeah, I was delighted to see the statement. I'm really happy that it's strong, and I hope, as I said, you know, that something is done about it, and, you know, they find individuals who are responsible for this. And for me, you know, it's always when I see these sorts of situations, it'd always be interesting for me to see what is the thought process behind these people who have done this.
Well, it won't surprise people to hear that Clyde One Super Scoreboard's probably not the platform to explore all these different political ideologies and look at what they are and why they are and why they're prevalent now, maybe in terms of the global political structures of various countries that are seeing things changing. But I suppose then, to keep it simple for us, the bit that you can almost sense Rangers getting at, so this week they hosted a celebration at Ibrox for Muslims ending the Ramadan fast, and, you know, there's a line in the statement as well, if I can just find it, where it talks about the... It says, Rangers is a modern progressive football club. We're fiercely proud of our diverse playing squads, workforce and support. So that's where it becomes, if you're trying to operate a modern football club, I don't think, certainly not me, nor Patrick Stewart or anyone, is going to be able to tell people what they can and cannot think. But how do you have that that football club functioning properly where it's too... Muslim players that scored, as an example, or did I see the coach, the Moroccan coach, tweeting about how proud he was of the celebration the other night? If you're not making your own employees welcome, that surely is an issue that you have to try and negotiate.
Yeah, and I think that's one that the club are trying to negotiate now by finding out who the individuals who have done this, because, as you said, you know, it's a narrow-mindedness. You know, they'll celebrate when these players that you're speaking about score goals, but then all of a sudden they want to put those banners up that kind of, you know, makes it. Listen, if I'm a player and I see that, you know, I'm not sure how I feel about going forward. If that was the majority, as I said, it is the minority. So all these players will be thinking about now is we need to find these individuals, as the club want to do, as do, you know, a majority of Rangers supporters, and they're not welcome at the football club anymore. There's no place for them at all in football, in society. And as I said, you know, to think that it's okay to display that banner for me is really appalling.
It's bringing the negativity as well, Gordon. Mm-hmm. On the back of such a really good, albeit they get beat on the night, but they went through.
Sure.
It was a good moment in a season that Rangers have found difficult, and we're focusing on this negative stuff.
I think that's time already for us.
Oh, no.
Who's going to put in a negative performance?
That's definitely this
question.
Guy, Mr. Donut.
Let's play.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Beat the Pundit time. Marvin Bartley, Simon Donnelly, both standing
You're
by.
You're going to let that donut go, are you?
Nah.
That was a while ago. You've had a zero as well.
Nah, we've got a problem though. But I don't know how much time we've got. But I was listening to the show as I always do, and there was a question, was it yesterday, about the St Mirren players that were called up.
Wait.
And it had two on your sheet.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard Mark Wilson say, and I also heard yourself say, we will go with what is on the sheet. Now, the 10 that was taken away from me, you failed to do so.
No,
so
I didn't go with what was on the sheet.
No, you
yesterday.
Were going to, but you said it didn't matter because they both got the same answer, but you would have gone with what was on the sheet. We need to listen back.
How could I? There are no St Mirren players in the squad.
But
so
it doesn't matter. You said it says two on the sheet, so we were going to go with what's on the sheet. Anyway, I'll let you carry
Marvin.
On.
Is Lewis Ferguson in the Scotland squad this week?
Oh, please leave me alone.
Is he or is he
at
not?
At that point, he was not.
He's a current Scotland international. Let it go. Right, I've lost all train of thought. You need to call before 7 o'clock on 0141 951 1025.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Simon Donnelly and Marvin Bartley are here on 0141 951 1025. So do give us a call. Every single caller who makes it on air goes into the hat for tickets to air races as well. So please give us a shout right now. Where are you Scotland fans? I know that it takes a bit sometimes to get in the swing of international week, but we've not had to because we've been wall to wall on picking up the pieces from the weekend. It is tomorrow night, so pick your team. Is it the back three again with Kieran Tierney in it? Does he have to stick with a back four because it was so successful in the last round of games? And how do you get around the fact that there is no Ben Doak if you're going to do that? So give us a shout, please. 0141 951 1025. We will play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Mark Wilson's win last night has put a bit of pressure on you, Marvin Bartley. You need to try and keep up the pressure. Try and get in that second spot.
Second spot?
Is it pressure on him?
Well, it doesn't really... It's a kind of like...
How are you up and setting?
It's by default because Roger Hanna starts on minus two.
What? If Roger Hanna was higher, you'd be even lower, mate. Where's Simon?
You
mid table.
Do you want... No? This phrase is going to kill you. Ready for this? Simon can go back level with Gordon DL if he wins. Wow.
Where am I? Languishing?
Yeah.
Down there, Ross McCormack and people like that.
Anyway. Mark is in...
You in second.
It's very local tonight. We usually get a nice spread. Mark's the second caller from Yoker, I think. How's it going, Mark?
Evening, gentlemen. How are we doing? All right?
All good here, Mark. Have you ever played before?
I haven't, no.
Okay. You fancy your chances against these two? Surely.
A couple of smart cookies, but if it was Dazzler or Wilson, I think I'd fancy my chances a bit more. Here we go.
Size of the same level, Mark. You'll be fine.
It's by the table. But you were good last season, were you not?
Or I was.
Something
I
like
was.
That.
Yeah, I was.
Do you know, I'd never heard of Yoker until today's show.
You drive through it every day
you
come
pass
here?
It. Yeah, nah. You pass it.
What do you mean?
It's just along the road.
Or do you
really?
Do you go over Erskine Bridge to come here?
I don't know, I just put it in a navigation.
You don't know. Hold on. Right, I get that. You don't know whether
oh, no,
you
I went
go over
the Erskine Bridge once. That was last week.
Just once.
That was the first time.
Well, see if you don't, you go through Yoker
okay.
to come here,
Yoker.
I would suggest.
Yoker.
Just along at the Lidl.
Nah, sort of. Is that right, Mark?
Is that the new bridge will be opening in the next month or so.
That's
it's
true.
It's easier to come from Renfrew, so.
Oh,
it doesn't really suit you, but I noticed that bridge.
Yeah?
That's why the traffic lights are chaos down there. I don't like that new lane set up. See those turn rights they've got?
I'll just go straight.
I knew you would do
it. I'll just go straight, mate.
We've turned this show really hyper-local. Anyway, let's go heads for Simon Donnelly tails. It is Marvin Bartley, and it is heads.
Yes, come on, Mark.
It's Simon.
Let's go.
Okay.
Relegation fodder, Donnelly, up against Mark from Yorker. What we do is give Simon something else to listen to so he can't hear us. 30 seconds, Mark. Answer as many as you can. Pass if you don't know the answer. Ready?
Cool. Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, your time starts now. Odin Thiago Holm is currently on loan to which MLS club?
Vancouver Whitecaps.
Who's the only Colombian in the Rangers squad?
Jeffy.
In the run-up to which tournament did Scotland last play Greece in qualifying?
Euro 2020.
Excluding Celtic, name any other team that came second during Rangers 9 in a row?
Motherwell.
Who's the last Scottish Premiership team alphabetically?
St Johnstone.
You ready, Simon Donnelly?
Yes.
They're quite tricky.
Oh,
I think. Did you hear them, Marvin?
No.
No, yeah, I think they're tough.
I had some music.
Same set of questions. 30 seconds on the clock, Simon Donnelly, and your time starts now. Odin Thiago Holm is currently on loan at which club?
Pass.
Who is the only Colombian in the Rangers squad?
Pass.
In the run-up to which tournament did Scotland last play Greece in qualifying?
World Cup.
What? Never mind. Excluding Celtic, name any other team that came second during Rangers 9 in a row.
Aberdeen.
Who is the last Scottish Premiership team alphabetically? 3 2
No.
Don't pat. Outrageous. That's the worst answer in the history of Beat the Pundit.
What was the World Cup question? What was that
question? Hold on. Why would you pass that last one? Just name a team.
It's too late.
Queen's Park.
It's the worst performance you've ever put in. Even if you don't get a zero, this is somehow worse.
What was the Greece one?
We'll get to that. Mark, I'm not going to lie, it didn't sound
like a donut because Aberdeen's.
It
right
didn't sound like a high scoring affair, Mark, did it?
No, it doesn't. I think I've got a couple right. I'm not sure.
That means you won.
This could be a disgusting win.
That's if he even got a couple. Let's go. Odin Thiago Holm is on loan to LAFC. No. Los Angeles. No. At least Mark guessed a team, but he got it wrong. Okay. The only Colombian in the Rangers squad is Oscar Cortez. Again, Mark was giving like semi-respectable guesses. Jeff Day is Brazilian, Mark, but Oscar Cortez.
Okay. So I still know now.
This was great. In the run-up to which tournament did Scotland last play Greece in qualifying? You just went
World Cup.
So I had to give you the World Cup.
Well, it wouldn't even matter because it's Euro 96.
Oh, is it?
That's the answer.
Close.
I remember the game as well. I think McCoy scored.
I think you're right. Because otherwise the answer would only be World Cup or Euros, and it would be really easy.
All right,
unbelievable. Your head's gone at this point.
Yes. Did Mark get it right?
No, he didn't.
It's a game, this is, man.
This is like last night, 0-0 after three questions.
Livingston v St Johnson all over again.
We're going to win this 1-0.
Excluding Celtic, name any other team that came second during Rangers 9 in a row. You had the choice of Hearts, Motherwell that Mark got.
Yep.
And Aberdeen that Simon got. You would have been involved. You're thinking, who is above us?
No, it was the one
at some point. No,
was it not the one that Aberdeen ran them right to the end of it? Hateley. Was that not part of the 9 in a row?
It would have
start,
been
round at the start.
Right, okay, so it's 1-1. Name the last Scottish Premiership team alphabetically.
Premiership team.
Yeah, that's what Queen's Park.
Saying no is outrageous. But also, Mark said St Johnston. St Mirren. It's St Mirren.
Oh, wow.
This was ugly. This was not
dug in. Good. Is it a tiebreaker?
Wait. That's been two bad days on Beat the Pundit.
One each. Okay.
This is where I come into my own.
Right. This can't be right. This is a tough question. Okay. It's a closest two, so I'll get Simon to write his answer down before Mark gives us his attempt. The question is this. How many different players have captained the Scotland men's national team? Write it down, please, Simon. How many different players have captained the Scotland men's national team?
Gee whiz.
Okay, write it down. Okay, what are you going for, Mark?
39.
That's it, right. So Simon said 35. It's very close. Mark says 39.
37.
I wouldn't possibly doubt our producers because they never get anything wrong. I cannot believe the answer. I genuinely cannot.
What do you think?
I would say like 18.
Though bearing in mind we've been on the go for like 150 odd years or more than that.
What is it?
It's 156.
Gee whiz.
So Mark and Yoker went into the same mall.
He definitely does. I'll drop off on the way home. I'll meet him at Lidl.
What did you say?
You get the petrol 180. Station. Unbelievable. Mark, listen, they all count. You were miles off, but you were closer than Simon.
That's deserved.
It's possibly the worst game of
worst game of beat a pundit in history.
Mark, right.
Points to 3 points, mate. You got the signboard. Doesn't matter how you got it, mate.
Wow.
And I'm delighted for you.
Someone needs to tell me the detail. Is this like just worn the armband at any point?
It must be. Sometimes it's like four players in one game.
156.
That's a lot, though.
Just wore it at any point. Yeah. That is stunning.
It would still be wrong because of producers, but listen, Simon lost, so I'm more than happy to go for the paper.
I'm now on the ever reliable Wikipedia page dedicated to the Scotland men's captains. You started, you know, with Robert Gardner back in the 1870s, etc. Yeah. Bob.
You played with him, didn't you?
And
Simon Donnelly loses.
Again, you should have said again.
Stinker.
Who's your team, Mark?
Celtic fan.
How was the weekend?
Disappointing, obviously.
As good as that beat the pundit.
I think Rodgers needs to be back to the drawing board when it comes to these games, because we've been outplayed in the last three, so I'm hoping that for the next one he maybe changes things up a wee bit.
Do you know, were Celtic outplayed in the cup final, or was it just a bit more uncomfortable than people thought? Because I've heard this a lot, and I don't disagree, I just don't remember feeling, because like the 3-0 at Ibrox, obviously, and then certainly the first half there, I know Celtic were uncomfortable in the cup final. Definitely were uncomfortable and nowhere near. I'm not saying they were dominant either. I just wonder if they were outplayed in the cup final. I remember it a bit different. But to be fair, it's Celtic fans that are saying it, so I don't feel strong enough to argue.
You look at the penalty claim for Rangers as well. It was fine lines in that game, the cup final. I don't think, you know, it kind of toed and froed a little bit.
I just thought in the final that, I think going into it, everyone thought it'd be maybe a walkover for Celtic. And because it was a lot closer, I then think people then start saying, well, you know, Celtic were outplayed. Rather, it was a closer game, I think, than we all expected.
Yeah.
But you know, I don't think Celtic were outplayed in the final, if I'm honest. I just think it was a lot closer and a lot more competitive than I actually thought it was going to be. Not only in scoreline, but in terms of the game.
To be fair, I'm nitpicking, because I think at the core of Mark's point is something I have heard, that Celtic now need to do something different within those matches. Do you agree?
They have to win it.
No, I mean in terms of approach, or whatever.
I don't think the approach. I think they just have to be. They're not going to really change their approach, I don't think. Rangers were locked on very high at the weekend. I think they were trying to get Celtic to play it long. I think that's why Ida came on in the second half. I just think, with McGregor, and people will say, well, the 2nd of January 3-0 game McGregor played, I just feel taking the ball off that back four is very comfortable to Callum, and I don't think it was there at the weekend. You could see at times, yes, Rangers pressed them very aggressively, but you could see at times Celtic were a wee bit uncertain with the ball at their feet at the back four, which is not like them. And certainly the second goal comes from Kasper Schmeichel trying to play it, I think, to Carter Vickers, who kind of leaves it to Johnston, who leaves it to Carter Vickers' indecision there. Rangers win it back, and in the second goal is a couple of seconds later. I just thought there was that wee bit of uncomfortable play at the back, and I think, you know, when I was watching the first half, even into the second half, I'm thinking, usually McGregor's there.
Yeah.
Usually he's the one that's linking that and bringing it into the midfield. As I say, people will, you know, point to the fact that he played in the last game. But in terms of having to do something totally different, I don't think so. I think the game at two each at the weekend, you know, I thought the momentum was with Celtic, and then it kind of swung Rangers' way at the end with the final goal. There's not been a lot in the games.
Yeah, I don't think there needs to be a massive change from Celtic either. No. It's like, they're 13 points clear. I know you're talking about these games specifically. I get that, but it's, Brendan would just be saying, we have to do it better. You know, do what we do, but just do it better. There were so many unforced errors from Celtic the other day. And at times they're bringing pressure on themselves by playing it backwards when they could have played it forwards. And, you know, Kasper Schmeichel normally has, or he does have the most time on the pitch, and some of his decision-making was poor. So that then just filters throughout the whole team. So it was just one of those days where we say we had an off day and it can't happen again.
I know it's a very, very basic analysis. But I also sometimes wonder just how impactful an early goal is.
Oh.
You know that, like, I'm not, and to be fair, like, your team, you should be resolute enough to then, you know, handle
even
that.
Even for that start, though, Gordon, like, I've seen Lennon's Celtic team doing it similar to Ibrox. Put it in the corner, get the territory up there. They win the two corners. I think the goal comes from the second corner. And it's not necessarily putting Celtic on the back foot, but it's just putting it in there and asking a couple of questions at the start of the game. And they get, it's a great delivery and a nice header.
What kind of tweaks are you thinking, Mark?
Well, I think that a wee bit less of the mucking about at the back with the ball, maybe play it forward a wee bit quicker. And I think if you look at that game the other day, the player with the most touches was probably Carter Vickers. And he's never going to cut anyone open with a raking diagonal or anything like that. So I think get it forward, get it to the white players quicker, and pin Rangers back the way they pinned us back.
Do you know, I wonder about this, Marvin? Because sometimes perceptions just appear. This Celtic team does get it forward much quicker than Brendan Rodgers the first time.
Mm-hmm.
But why not then at the weekend? Because they do. How often have we seen, you know, a kind of ball over the top? Not saying lumped long, but, you know, into a wide area for Nicholas Kuhn to run onto or Maeda. They definitely do. They don't always try and pass you to death. They don't always just keep it. So why is that perception creeping in the weekend and maybe sometimes recently?
Yeah, I think on the back of a defeat, listen, you're gonna nitpick at absolutely everything. Celtic play the way that Celtic play, and as I said, you know, domestically they're cleaning up. I think they tried to go forward a little bit quicker in the second half, and I don't think Adam Eder held the ball up well enough, and it kept on coming back anyway. Sometimes in terms of, you know, can they go in behind earlier, it's about the run. So the player has to make the run for then force the person on the ball to play the pass, and it probably didn't happen that much. I think Celtic lost a little bit with Maeda being up front. As soon as he went wide, obviously he got his goal from there as well, but he was willing to go in behind, and he called Sterling and Tavernier a few problems down that side. So I think if Brendan looks at it again, he potentially would start him on the left, but it means Adam Eder has to come and, you know, make a stake and a claim to start the games of football, because in the second half I don't think he brought enough to Celtic, because Brendan obviously saw it tactically. We need to go forward a little bit quicker, get a target man up there, but Adam Eder has to hold the ball up, and he didn't really do that.
I think as well, though, in that first half, I know what you're saying, but Maeda playing through the middle, I think he strikes fear into those three. He'd be able to run away from those three. There was a couple of times, I think Luke McCowan played a fantastic ball over the top. It just skids away.
Yep.
Great bit of movement from Maeda. And there was another one I remember with Johnston. So that would have been on. But the problem was they couldn't get into comfortable areas there to maybe get their head up and execute the correct pass. And you maybe have to give a wee bit of credit to Rangers. They came
100%.
Out and pressed really aggressively and forced Celtic into doing things and making it uncomfortable.
They won the midfield battle, didn't they, Rangers? Yeah, which doesn't normally happen, like you say.
It was a wee bit surprising in that, because you listen to Brendan talking before the game, and regardless of where you are, it still hurts the 3-0 defeat, the other one. They want to overturn that. And I just didn't feel there was a reaction. I thought Celtic reacted well in the second half, but the start, I think, caught cold again. When you're on the back of that 3-0 before, you'd be in front of your own fans, and it just didn't really happen.
They missed their leader, for me. I think that was a massive thing. You know,
people keep saying he played the previous one, though.
But it's a calmness that he brings on the pitch. I'm not just talking about his ability on the ball, but just how he carries himself. I never forget, and during COVID, we played Livingston against Celtic, and we were right in the game, and Celtic had players that couldn't play due to the COVID protocol or whatever it was.
Remember those days.
And literally, he was running around the pitch saying, this is not the way that Celtic play. And you could actually hear him. I was on the opposition team. You could hear him saying it to them and to get them going, say, we need to do it better, we need to do it better. And that's what I think they missed on Sunday. Not only what he can bring on the ball, but is the standards he demands from everybody else. And I think when they looked to someone to say, hang on a minute, what's going on here? This doesn't normally happen to us. There was no one to do it. And listen, Simon's right. Give Rangers maximum credit, because they went after them and, you know, they got the win and they deserved it.
Thank you very much to Mark, a famous night on Beat the Pundit. That was outrageous.
No, I deserved. I enjoyed that game, if I'm honest.
I know you would.
It is a good time to call 01419511025, and we'll speak to you next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 01419511025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley and Simon Donnelly are here. It's 01419511025. or you can tweet us at Clyde SSB. Lawrence Deary sent me a message to show Marvin the Limmy sketch about Joker. You ever seen that one?
I think I have.
You must have. Just because we were talking Joker earlier, we're trying to educate
on the bus
you.
To Joker.
Oh, shoot, I'll send you. I won't play it right now.
Give that to me
On the show. But yeah, let's see. Here we go. I must admit, I think this. I'll give you the teaser. I don't like it when the answers are countries, but okay. Because I don't want to. Stephen in Manila is a well thought out question. It's well researched. I don't mean to seem disrespectful. Since the year 2000, what 10 countries have Scotland men's team played the most? Because this just means you're all just going to shout
Israel.
You're just going to shout countries at me all night, and they without even any thought as to whether they're
that Israel.
How many teams? 10, did you say?
Yeah, Israel's right. Well,
Israel's
done.
Definitely one.
Joining us.
Played them about 50 times.
Exactly.
They're not even top, you know.
They're
since
not
2000,
top.
The 10 countries Scotland men's team have played the most. Okay. No, nothing.
Lithuania.
They were bound to be on there. They are played 8 as well. Okay. Any more? Oh, it's silence. I don't like it.
Norway.
Yes. Okay. We will leave it there. Israel, Lithuania, and Norway. Thanks to Stephen in Manila. If you want to send your questions in, it's fulltime@clyde1.com. fulltime@clyde1.com. Let's hear a bit from the Scotland camp. I was asking you earlier on quite a simple question: should it be a back three or should it be a back four? It's always the back three under Steve Clarke to begin with, because you needed to fit Andy Robertson and Kieran Tierney in. It got Steve Clarke to a couple of tournaments. It made sense. And then maybe things needed to evolve, needed to improve. They went to the back four, but that coincided with Ben Doak, and it was a winger, and it was natural width, and it was natural pace. But he's not there anymore. So what do we do in this double header against Greece? Whilst you're getting your calls over to us on 01419511025, let's hear a bit from the Scotland camp. John McGinn says he's looking forward to joining up with the likes of Lennon Miller and James Wilson, young 18-year-olds. And he's reflecting on his first call-up. He says comments from Charlie Adam at the time that made things a bit trickier for him.
I remember Charlie Adam doing an interview on my first day from Stoke's training ground, asking why there was Scottish Championship players getting called up, which wasn't too helpful at the time. So it was my first lunch at Mar Hall, I remember it, and all the experienced boys were getting right on me, saying, look, you shouldn't be in the squad. So my session 30 minutes later wasn't great, but it was nerve-wracking. Sean Maloney made me feel a bit that small when he was turning me inside out. I remember going back to my room. I was rooming with Barry Mackay at the time, and you have a wee think to yourself, saying, I can't compete at this level. They were too good. But you, as the sessions go on, as you get more experience, you get more comfortable and you start to express yourself a bit more. So I'll always be grateful to Gordon Strachan for giving me that opportunity, and he flung me right in for my debut that week. So my transition was a little bit easier. And like I said, I'll always be grateful to Gordon Strachan for that opportunity, when many people thought there shouldn't have been a Scottish Championship player in the squad. So I'm sure the boys will be feeling the same about the gaffer, and keen to repay that faith.
It's an interesting dynamic, this. Were you at his, actually? I remember that. When he got his Scotland call up.
It's a bit harsh for Charlie Adam, isn't it?
I remember that. Because Charlie wasn't in the squad, though, was he?
So
that was
not
the problem. Yeah. I remember it.
What was the talk at the time?
It just felt sorry for him again. Like, it wasn't, like you say, it wasn't great, like, seeing that. And I think it was on Sky Sports, whatever it was. Or the interview, and obviously the lads had seen it, and like, to be fair to John, he kind of laughed it off, but you know, he's probably being a little bit more honest there in terms of how it made him feel, and it make any player feel like that, wouldn't it? But it just shows, listen, it's football, isn't it? I'm sure Charlie didn't mean it personally at John McGinn. I think he was playing down the English Championship and he just saw someone in the Scottish Championship getting called up.
So who else would it have been aimed at then?
I don't know.
I'm just joking, because someone said that in the press conference yesterday. It probably wasn't personal, and I'm thinking, well
it's only him. Yeah, it was just him.
I suppose that's what you kind of have to put up with at times. Right, how does Steve Clarke approach this one? Because I've just outlined it before, you know, about different options and formations.
I think goes back to a back three, just because, like you said, Doak's not available, Christie not available for the first game, Tierney back in the squad. I definitely think for the first game he goes back to a back three, and it's just how it looks from there, really, whether he plays with four midfielders or three midfielders and two strikers.
So just that old one of packing that midfield in with good players, whether they're wide players or not, you can't well, we don't have any. So just get Gilmore, McTominay, McGinn, McLean or Ferguson in there, and what, Ashe Adams, that type of thing. So the kind of similar to building up to the Euros, that type of team.
Yeah, I think especially away from home. I think if this first game would have been at home, we could have seen Hurst and Adams potentially link up together at the top end. But I think with it being away from home, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong at all. As I said, coming back with a draw, or, you know, that'd be a good result, and then getting back to Hampden and then beating them there. So yeah, I think he'll go back to a back three and like you said there, pack the midfield with one striker.
I know we don't like to be fair, but I think if we are on this occasion, Simon, this is where it must be tough, international football management, because there will be some fans, and I understand it, tomorrow night we'll say, you've got to stick with the back four. It's been so much better, you've got to. But you literally don't have any wingers. Like, none. None at all. None available, none fit, none anywhere near international level. And then, even at a push, where sometimes the one who kind of gets put out there is in Ryan Christie, maybe, because he's suspended. Mm. Like, how do you get around it?
Steve Clark's the manager. I would say, when you've got Robertson and Tierney, they've got to play. So do you think that fits in better to the back three? Obviously, I just think when you've got players of that calibre, you have to find a way to play them.
Even if you did put Kieran Tierney as the left centre back, it still doesn't really solve what's ahead of you, because
it doesn't really solve these are conundrums that he's going to have to come up with. But I just, if you're stripping it back and being as basic, I think the two of them have got to play. They've just got to be in your 11.
Put Tierney on the wing like Arsenal did.
Do you know what? It's suddenly a conversation when it wouldn't have been before.
That calibre of player, he has to play. Either of them sitting in the bench.
I don't think Tierney, I don't think you play a back four and put Tierney like left centre half in a back four. Nah, I think that'd be asking too much of him. I do. Like, it's totally different being in, you know, a back four, left of the two rather than a back three. It's so much different. So much different.
All right, but just, I know we're talking about this game, surely that needs to remain a possibility, because if you're saying that once Ben Doak's fit, everybody thinks that it really should be a back four, well, how are you going to fit Kieran Tierney in? So it does feel like a realistic option.
Cross that bridge when you get to it, Gordon. Literally, it'd be one of those, because listen, with footballers, you always know, you think if these players are all fit, that very rarely are they all fit at the same time. And listen, Steve Clark would love that problem, like you're saying there, to have Doak fit, to have Tierney, Robertson. But I agree with Si, those two have to play regardless.
So you've got to play
a back three. Maybe, listen, if Doak comes back, you try and go 3-4-3, maybe try and switch it up a little bit, and it gives Doak his natural right wing position.
Because it must be quite limiting, because Kieran Tierney's not played loads of football from the start. This is a double header. There could be injuries, there could be suspensions. So even if in the second game Steve Clark wanted to go to a back four, if he doesn't in the first, it's still going to be really tough, is it not?
Yeah.
Because who is providing any sort of width?
I mean, I don't know who you actually play. Why do you try and force McGinn into a wide
John
area?
John McGinn does kind of come off a side a bit of Villa, doesn't he?
But I think you can probably do that if you're playing a flat four in midfield. Yeah. If you're playing like 4-3-3, not seeming to be a winger, then listen, the boy can do a lot of things, but I don't think he'd be too comfortable out there doing that.
Do you know what's stressing me out? I didn't actually realise. It caught me by surprise when I went to the squad announcement. There was old school, they still give you a bit of paper with the squad list and the caps on it to show. It said at the bottom that Ryan Christie was suspended for the first leg. I actually didn't realise that, and then we spoke about it last week. This should stress you out further. Do you want me to read the list of players that are on a disciplinary tightrope, i.e. get booked tomorrow and miss the second leg?
Go for it.
Billy Gilmore, Grant Hanley, John McGinn, Kenny McLean, Scott McTominay, Anthony Ralston and Andy Robertson. Sorry, well, I'll do the list of players that are not.
It's a concern. It is a concern. But again,
a concern?
You have to go out there and... Oh, wow. They can't afford to have that in their minds. It still needs to be competitive,
because there is hopefully I'm wrong. There is next to no chance that none of them get booked tomorrow night.
That'd be a miracle if all those players got through without getting booked. See, if they are booked, can you replace them in the squad for the next game? Or was that?
How does that work? Sure. But what's your thought process?
No, I'm just saying, like, say for example, four of them got booked. Could you replace it? Well, to be fair, I'll just be saying I'm injured. If I get booked tomorrow, I'm injured. Then you replace me anyway. So I'm supposed you will be able to get them out of the squad.
But that's
What was that, 7 or 8 you read out there?
I think so. It's quite limiting, isn't it? But anyway,
that's all the midfielders as well.
And they like a tackle. John McGinn likes a
competitive.
Ralston at right back, right wing back.
I know.
Maybe Lennon Miller is going to play the second leg all of a sudden.
Yeah.
That might be the opportunity that springs his way.
Ryan Christie would be back. He'd be free for suspension.
Oh yeah, he'll be all right.
The second leg.
Play Tenny centre midfield. I'm sure he could do it.
Any scope for a George Hurst debut from the start, or does that position belong to Shea Adams currently?
I think Adams gets it. I think he's been about the squad. He's doing okay over in St. Mary. He's scored a few goals. I think he probably gets the nod.
Yeah, I think Adams as well. I think it'd be a massive ask to put Hurst in straight away. Obviously, he joined up with the squad late because of the paperwork, etc. I think he'd just be trying to find his feet. Like McGinn was speaking about the younger boys, even though he's mid-20s or whatever he is, he'd still be trying to find his feet with the rest of the squad. I think it'd be too big a ask to start him tomorrow.
He's also done okay since going to Torino as well. Yeah. He's scored some goals. We can argue where we are in the striking department. Mm-hmm. Not got an embarrassment of riches, but do you think just because he's got the sort of experience in the tank and the fact that he's at least in a level of form that gives him the nod?
I think so, and he knows the way that Steve Clarke will want to play, especially if he's going back to playing with wing-backs and four midfielders. You know, Che would have played up there in that formation before, so I think all of those sorts of things that Steve Clarke's like, players being familiar with stuff, I think gives him the odd. But obviously got young Conway as well, haven't you, in the squad? And
sure, he's doing well at Middlesbrough.
Well. Yeah.
Very different though, isn't he?
Yeah, he just wants to run in behind, plenty of pace, same as kind of Wilson. But Che Adams to start.
Well, on George Hurst, John McGinn's hoping the Ipswich striker, can add a different dimension to their attack.
He seems pretty keen, trained well this morning. Obviously, we've got a couple of injuries up front. Saw Lyndon through the week and realised that he was definitely not going to make it. So if we've got anyone that can contribute and help and give us everything, whether they qualify through Scotland, through Bath, or through any other family, all we want is commitment and for your whole career, really. Ipswich are a good side. They always play well, and he certainly offers us something different up front. He's some size. He'll look after himself well in the games, and he seems keen to learn and improve. So we're glad to have him, and he's certainly settled in so far.
John McGinn not been telling you about him in your wee secret group chat that you were bragging about earlier.
That's not got in there. He's a big target man though, Hurst. He's similar to Dyche.
I've seen him score against, was it Forest in the cup?
Yeah,
and again in the league.
Did they score again that game as well?
Previous game, yeah.
He scored, the game's just gone, mm-hmm. didn't he? He
came off the bench. That was a brilliant header, that.
Yeah. He's a big boy, like John said there. He's a big boy, and I think he's very similar to Lyndon Dyche. So, listen, if you partner him with Che up front, again, it's a partnership that you've got there. You've got Conway, you've got pace, you've got Wilson, who's got pace. So, paying off a big man, if it gets to that point kind of in the second leg or late in the first game, then he's got options. Steve Clarke definitely coming off the bench.
So, what is your group chat called?
do you want me to put you in there? No. I actually can't remember the name of it.
I don't want to talk to you, but just wondering, because sometimes it's
ex-cabbage.
Like, is it like Hibs Cup winners or like?
No, it's nothing like that. It's nothing as
that's
cool
what I mean.
So
is it
that.
Something a bit? Is it something controversial?
Yeah, it's probably something that I probably need to tell you in the break.
You can't remember. You can remember.
I actually can't. Do you know how many group chats I'm in?
Show me.
Honestly, if I open my WhatsApp now, so I'm going to open it for you to see.
Have you ever heard someone brag about how popular they are?
No, it's not. It's just that I don't open. How many messages that in the
right,
call.
I don't
my specs.
I want to get to the one
since when?
I actually don't know. That's
incredible.
What, unread WhatsApps? How many?
156.
That's disgraceful. Just read them.
I know, but
156.
But the things you pick up your phone to like read them, and then someone else flies into another group chat.
It's maybe
so
a
just
two-way conversation with two guys in the group. Just was that 156 to you?
That's just like random group chats and individual messages. So,
I want to know what the chat with John McGinn it's called.
Let me see.
I'll decide if it's friendly
Hibs?
For radio.
Yeah, it's only Hibs boys.
I remember once Ryan Christie, it must have been during COVID weirdly or something, and he came on the show on the phone and he was talking about the Celtic group chat, and again I thought, what's it called? I would love to know if there's a clever name, and he kind of laughed because I think he was embarrassed, and he said it's just called the Celtic group chat. I said, that's rubbish.
Ours is called the Starving Club for some reason.
Oh, right, okay. I think we'll just leave that where it is. I don't want you to.
No, do you know what it was? Remember, Hibs used to meet for Nando's on a Wednesday, so that was where you'd fire it into there.
So, all right, it's the literal meaning of starving.
Yeah.
Right, okay. Thought you were taking me somewhere else. 01419511025. Don't forget, everyone who calls makes it into the hat for the tickets to Air Races. What are your thoughts? Marvin Bartley and Simon Donnelly both saying has to go back to a back three for Scotland tomorrow. Do you agree or do you disagree? Give us a call. Give us your solutions to the problem. Your teaser tonight: since the year 2000, what 10 countries have Scotland men's team played the most? Norway, Israel, Lithuania. I cannot believe Israel's not top. It feels that way, but I suppose that was more of a recent thing.
Yeah, the Dutch.
Yes, they. Oh, do you know what? They're joint top, actually. We've played them 8, same as Norway, same as Israel.
England?
No, 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 only a few times since 2000.
France?
Nope. We have to have played them 7 times for it to be on this list. I'll give you some thinking time and we will take more of your calls if you wish next.
Step around Scotland for Cash for Kids Day.
I think we should get you specifically involved in this because you would do it no bother because you like walking. You're quite a walker, aren't you?
Simon doesn't Donnelly? Look like it.
Usually,
what does that mean?
Pounding the pavement. And
why is he pounding the pavement? Wow,
I'm confused about you, Marvin Bartley, pounder. Because I know you like to stay fit, but I also feel like you're quite lazy.
Yeah, extremely.
Do you know how you can be those two things at once?
Definitely.
So
he likes to stick it up on his Instagram.
But he's in the gym,
the sweat and everything.
But I think I still think he's quite lazy. I don't think he likes walking or like going outdoors as such. But maybe you should, because this Cash for Kids Day, we've set ourselves a very big challenge. We're going to step around Scotland with our friends at 101 convenience stores, and to cover the distance, we're going to walk 16 million steps.
16 million, what? Man.
Now, we can't do it alone, so that's where you come in, obviously, at home. There are plenty of ways to get involved. Probably the easiest is to sign up for the Kilt Walk, because it takes place the 26th, 27th of April. You can sign up to walk anywhere between 3 all the way up to 23 miles. And that would contribute to our target. So if you get in touch with the Cash for Kids team, you can claim your place for free as well, which is always nice. But it doesn't have to be the Kilt Walk. You could just get your school involved, your work involved, do it on your own. Just help us all come together and hit that 16 million steps mark before Cash for Kids Day on Thursday, the 1st of May. So sign up at Clyde1.com. It's Cash for Kids Day, proudly supported by 101 convenience stores.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley and Simon Donnelly are here into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Every caller that makes it on air goes into the hat for the tickets to Air Races, and Kerry is about to join that list. Very quickly on the teaser, did you get any during the break? Since the year 2000, what 10 countries have Scotland men's team played the most? Thanks to Stephen in Manila again for sending in. Netherlands, Norway, Israel, Lithuania,
Georgia.
Nope.
Austria.
Nope.
Wow.
This is where it gets bad and you just start shouting random countries and we never get there.
Is it Slovenia or Slovakia then? No,
neither. No.
Wow. I'm in big trouble. Not got much help to my right either.
No, it's not like he played for Scotland or anything.
The best thing is he's just looking at my paper.
I've produced three. You get Israel and I've got the other three.
I thought it was a team game.
Oh, come on. Get my foot.
Any clues yet? Has that come later?
I mean, you shouldn't really need it because it's all the kind of regular European countries that you would face in qualification, that sort of thing.
Poland.
Yes. Well done.
Don't give a good shout because he said yes.
Most of them would be quite recently because that would be twice in that Nations League campaign.
Mm-hmm.
They were in the same Gordon Strachan's campaign, so it'd be another twice. There was a friendly in there that Andy Robertson maybe made his.
Czech Republic.
Yes, well done. All right, a couple more and we'll be over the line. Kenny's in Thornleybank. How are you, Kenny?
Not bad, buddy.
What made you call?
I'm just saying, see, like the international breaks, why can we not still play normal league football, you know, and it would give everybody a sporting chance? You know, like I say, all these many say, like, internationals go away. They've got enough players to cover it for a playing Ross County or something like that, and Motherwell. You know, I'd make the league a wee bit more fairer in the international break. And a lot of people haven't got stomach for the international break. So I'd keep everybody going. And plus the fact, the African league, if you've got an African player, the league doesn't stop for that.
It would just be to do with the number of them, though, wouldn't it? I mean, Kenny wants basically to keep domestic football going, just play with what's left. No?
No.
Do it in rugby.
That's
you were telling us you were a big rugby fan.
That's a bad idea. That is a really bad idea, because how's that fair? Like, That's just not fair, is it? So you've got better players who get called up. To be fair, there'll be Ross County got players missing, like Lennon Miller from Motherwell, smaller team. They've got a fair few boys on international duty at various different countries. So, yeah, I don't think any manager would want that, if I'm honest.
No.
Not convinced?
No, not at all.
Play the kids, play the reserves, give everyone a chance.
Nah, they can play under-18s in reserve football. Next idea?
Why, I wonder, I should probably know this, I'm sure it's simple. I wonder why in rugby it's seen as, is that because like traditionally international rugby is more important than club rugby? Does that make sense? Whereas football is probably the other way around, especially now with the amount of money and so on.
Aye.
I mean, Kenny,
Six
just
Nations is
massive. I don't mind your ambition, Kenny, but it's just a non-starter, is it? Like, in terms of clubs would not sign up for must-win games without their best players.
What about the African League? Like, say, Salah and Liverpool. He's one of his most influential players. He's away for 3 weeks.
Totally, but what I'm saying is that there would be a number, you know. It's a risk you take when you sign Mo Salah, and you almost know that you're going to have to. But Kenny, as an example, I can't. Celtic maybe don't quite. Yeah, Celtic will. This week, Kenny, Austin Trusty and Cameron Carter-Vickers were meant to be away. Alistair Johnson would have been with Canada.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Last season, Callum McGregor would have been, and Daizen Maeda's away, and Rio Hatate. So that's them all. You know, it's not just saying like Mo Salah.
Look at Celtic's bench. Still, it played Ross County, and Ross County was one each. And then all of a sudden, they looked to the bench, and they brought with three internationals, and they won the game. You know, so it must have been disheartening for the other team, but it didn't everybody a level playing field.
I mean, that's probably precisely what it wouldn't do, isn't it?
No, because Ross County would lose players as well, that they would be replacing with lesser players than what Celtic can replace their players with. So the drop off from Ross County international starter to the next in line would be far greater than what Celtic can replace their international players with.
Adamida's away. Arne Engel's not this time.
Yeah.
Well publicised. Ronan Hale's away. Ross County would be missing
without
out.
Without him. Noah Kenner.
I know where it comes from, though. It comes, and Kenny did say it somewhere in there. People just want domestic football to keep going because they miss it and they like it better than international football.
I can understand that. I'm a wee bit like that myself until the Scotland games come round tomorrow and I'll be up for the national team, but nah, that's not the answer.
Kenny, I tried to get them on board, but I don't think it's going to happen. Thank you to Kenny and Thornley Bank, who does go into the hat for the tickets to Air Races. Anyway, you still just saying no?
Kenny can't go into the draw for
you
that.
Can. Nah. You're trying to tell me you would not love to go and see a second string Motherwell v St Johnston this weekend?
Imagine how many people would turn up to that game. Oh man, be giving away tickets on here.
Surely you're going to the Sky Sports Cup final this weekend?
On Saturday?
Yes.
No, I've got a stag do.
Where are you off?
Madrid, and it's raining.
Madrid?
Yeah. But it's raining heavily.
Hibs are your team, Hibs and Rangers.
I know, but I can watch it.
Your partner will be there working, so you might as well just get in the car and go along.
To be fair, I might drive from Madrid on the Saturday morning. See? What time's kick off? 3 o'clock?
I'm trying to talk up the game, but I wouldn't make you stay home. Madrid's a mate. You've been to Madrid before?
Yeah, but it's raining.
Oh, good. I'm sorry. That delights
me.
Yeah,
exactly. That's not great at all.
Again, how many are going?
9.
Good number.
Anyone, well,
what's
anyone
the bad
from
number?
Football going? No.
30.
30? No, that's too many. No, that's it.
So 90s are off to Madrid?
The analyst from Hearts, it's his stag do. No, no footballers.
Quiet.
Except for me.
You're not a footballer. Never have been.
I'm going to be over in Madrid slide tackling people in the rain, man.
I bet you will be. Anyway, we've got the Scotland game tomorrow night. Then the home leg is Sunday evening, trying to stay in Nations League A. That's clearly where Steve Clarke wants to be. I think at the start, Simon, people maybe were a bit over it and thought, you're going to lose all the time. But actually, they were quite close. And then those performances started turning into results, and we weren't far away from actually automatically staying and not having to do this playoff. So it probably does make sense to aim high, try and stay there.
I think so. I think that's where you want to be. You want to be up there and playing against the better teams. Greece, I watched Greece recently. I think it was at Wembley. I think they beat England. So it's difficult. But I still look at our squad. I'm still excited. The youngsters coming in, whether they feature a lot or not, it's, you look at the midfield, I'm quite positive for the
just
being
around
games.
It's important, isn't it, for those young ones? It's refreshing. It is good to see them in there. And listen, James Wilson getting opportunities here. Lennon Miller as well. I think, you know, so many young players now you're seeing that are going down to England or going abroad out of academies at 16 years of age. Like, there's actually a pathway now if you stay in Scotland that you're going to play games. Yeah. And then the bigger pathway is you now getting into the national team at 17, 18 years of age. So I think it would encourage a lot more young players that we have coming through the system to stay, you know, and get these opportunities and then get international football potentially.
I know it can get lost a bit when the results don't go well, and that's fine because that should be the most important thing. But there is a lot to almost identify with and like about the squad now, isn't there? Even down to, like, we heard from John McGinn, and he's saying he's been winding Ali McCoist up about overtaking his goals, and he's trying to chase down Kenny Dalglish, and Andy Robertson's got his eye on the all-time cap list, and he's already the most capped captain and stuff like that. So
it's incredible numbers, because I mean, I grew up, I watched McCoist score the goals, I watched Dalglish getting all the caps, record goal scorer. Now there's guys there that are going to try and beat that.
Let's finish this teaser. Since 2000, the 10 countries Scotland men's team have played the most: Netherlands, Czech Republic, Norway, Israel, Lithuania, Poland. What about the most recent Nations League campaign that we just finished?
Who's in that group?
That's me.
That's what I'm asking.
That's
I'm asking you.
Yeah.
I'm you put your glass on like they got superpowers, mate, and nothing happens.
Ben Doak ripped them apart at Hamden.
Spain?
No.
The defender from...
Yes, Man City.
Man City plays for them.
Vardy.
Croatia.
Back. Yes, Croatia. Okay. What about a famously bad, bad international result, Bertie Vogt's era, away in the...
Philippines.
What would be the chances of it being the Philippines? Faroe Islands.
Faroe Islands.
Yes, Faroe's one of them.
Yeah. What about closer to home? We said not England.
Wales.
No.
Ireland.
Yes, Republic of Ireland and Belgium, honestly. Just get in my sight. I'm sick of it. Go home.
I need a better partner. He gets one on Beat the Pundit and then he offers nothing in that.
Thank you to Marvin Bartley and Simon Donnelly, and thank you for listening and calling. We are back tomorrow night. Mark Wilson, Gordon Dale are here, and Scotland are playing away in Greece. So plenty to get stuck into then. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday in the meantime.